Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Chase, Willie, D-Maze, 1025-1063, the game. We are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Caroline Fenton in for Chase McCabe today. D-Maze, Willie, we got Nick back. We got a full house today.
Indeed.
We've got Ask D-Maze later on this hour, so if you've got a question for D-Maze, make sure to get those in. Life-related, football-related, and the best question of the day will win a very special prize. So make sure to get your questions in for D-Maze. We will get to those later on this hour. Breaking down the firing of John Robinson, what does that mean for this Titans team moving forward? Because we can speculate, which we've been doing plenty of this week, about Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, some of the moves that have been made in the past that may have led to some frustration within the organization that led to John Robinson's firing. But there are a lot of moves that need to be made moving forward that won't involve John Robinson, that have involved John Robinson in the past. And the most notable move is Jeffrey Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
And we had TD on the show yesterday for the TD Power Hour, and he brought up a very interesting point. He said that whoever moves into this GM position, whether that's Mike Vrabel, who plays a much larger role moving forward, a GM type of role, Bill Belichick kind of head coach slash GM type of role, whoever, or it's going to be somebody completely different. It's going to be a really important move that it's going to be priority 1A to re-sign Jeffrey Simmons. Obviously, I mean, that's going to be a high priority, whether it was John Robinson or not.
Yep.
But now, looking at the management moves that have been made, now Jeffrey Simmons' camp may hold all the leverage. Because if I'm Jeffrey Simmons' group of agents, group of managers, I'm looking at this for a few reasons. One, whoever's the new GM is going to need a home run hire. Whoever's the new GM doesn't want to be the GM that starts their tenure as the guy who let Jeffrey Simmons walk. So Jeffrey Simmons' camp understands that they hold that leverage. And two, Amy Adams Strunk has $500 million on the line for a new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
That this city is on the line for $1.2 billion for a new stadium. That stadium is going to be funded by PSLs, by people who come in and go to games, spend their money and their tax dollars on bars, restaurants, shops around the new stadium. So they need to have butts in those seats. You think that people are going to want to spend thousands of dollars a year on PSLs when core parts of this team are no longer, when Jeffrey Simmons is no longer on this team? So all things considered, the stadium thing is not new. Mm-hmm. But with a change in management, Jeffrey Simmons' camp has to understand that this Titans team needs Jeffrey Simmons a whole lot more than Jeffrey Simmons needs them. And that Jeffrey Simmons' camp holds all the leverage. And that's not a great negotiating tactic on the Titans side of things.
I think his camp held leverage before the firing of John Robinson because of what happened with A.J. Brown. And you don't want to consistently let players out of here that would have been, you know, two or three guys, including A.J., and then if you allow Jeffrey to get out of here, you know, that would just be too much. You go all the way back to Jack Conklin again. He could have been a cornerstone. He and Taylor Lewan could have been your tackles. Albeit Taylor's been hurt, I get that. But at the time, it could have been Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin as your tackles for the next 10 years. You allowed him to leave. You didn't give him a contract. You do that to A.J. Brown. You do it to Corey Davis, teams that are making, you know, impacts at their respective teams now. You don't want to then again have another situation where you allow another one of your first-rounders get outside of your building. If you want to build a team and you want to build consistent winners, You got to sign your guys back to second contracts that deserve second contracts. Jack Conklin deserved a second contract. I think Corey Davis deserved a second contract. A.J. Brown definitely deserved a second contract. Jeffrey Simmons deserved a second contract. So he has the leverage. Before the firing, I don't think there's any more leverage that he has after the firing. All his leverage is basically, I may be, put Aaron Donald to the side, I may be the best defensive tackle in the National Football League. That's my leverage alone. I don't need anything else. You don't want to pay me? Okay, fine. Somebody else is going to pay me. And then you're going to regret it once again, like you're regretting what you did to A.J. Brown.
You know what's interesting? I would have put, and I think I probably did, and I don't know if I would have put him exactly equal, but mm-hmm. I would have put A.J. Brown and Jeffrey Simmons mm-hmm. a year ago into the same bucket of guys I drafted that are difference-making players mm-hmm. that I have to make room for. I know I said that many times. I never fathomed that they would trade A.J. Brown. So Jeffrey Simmons has done exactly what he should do. Number one, he has conveyed publicly how much he loves the team. Mm-hmm. He loves being in Nashville. He's an essential part to the team. He knows that. And he knows he's got a lot of leverage. And so it's just a matter of how much he wants to push it. And how many times, Derek, have you used the example of... Because he sat there, he watched A.J. Mm-hmm. Brown get traded. So
yeah.
I guess nobody is irreplaceable. Now, you would think that Mike Brable here would say, look, we just went through this whole thing with A.J. We are learning from that. We are not letting him get away. We're not letting Big Jeff get away.
Mm-hmm.
But you've said this before. You've got the Tom Brady approach mm-hmm. and the Aaron Rodgers approach. The Tom Brady approach is, you know what, I want to win. I could get whatever I want as my salary. I'm Tom Brady. But you know what, I want to win. I want to leave some money in the salary cap for my team to be able to put the right players around me. Whereas Aaron Rodgers is a little more, I'm going to hold this team hostage for 2 or 3 years, and they're going to do everything I want, or else I am just going to make their life miserable, which he did. And you see where the Packers are right now. Jeffrey Simmons seems to me to be a little bit more on the Tom Brady side. I think he's about winning. But I think that's the trick for whoever's doing that negotiation, whether it's Mike Vrabel and somebody else, whether it's somebody they bring in from the outside. But you've got to make that work, and you've got to find that right space of let's pay him what he's worth, let's keep him happy. But I've got to do it meshing it with all the other tough decisions with Derrick Henry, with Ryan Tannehill, with Bud Dupree, all of the other things where you're trying to keep winning, working towards that new stadium, right? This is a layered decision there. There's a lot of forces at play.
Yeah, but unfortunately, even though Jeff has the power, Jeff wants his money. Jeff, a quarterback can do that. A quarterback can say, Tom Brady can say, listen, I know I'm worth $40, $50, $60 million. If I wanted $60 million a year, I don't think anybody would say he doesn't deserve it. Say after the third Super Bowl. If Tom Brady wants $60 million, then I don't think anybody in New England would say or in the Boston area would say, oh, he doesn't deserve it. No, he does deserve it because he won 3 Super Bowls. With everybody else outside of the quarterback, we got to get our money. Because they've made the rules as such, quarterbacks play longer. Nobody touches the quarterback. You know, this is a quarterback-driven league. So the quarterback can say, I take, you know, $5, $10 million less. I'm winning championships. I'll make it all back up at the end because Tom has and he will. But Big Jeff can't say that. Big Jeff can't say, you know what, I really want 25, 27, but if y'all offering 20, I take it, but just make the team better around me. Big Jeff can't say that.
I agree.
He needs his money.
And he doesn't need to. I mean, it would be
very valiant of
Jeffrey Simmons to say, you know what? You're offering me X. I'll take less than that because I want everyone else to get paid. That's a very valiant thing to do for Jeffrey Simmons. He deserves to get paid.
But his representation is interesting, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't have that absolute strong agent that's saying, look, this guy's not showing up. You're going to take care of him or else he's not showing up. Like, mm-hmm. he hasn't done that. He's worked with them. He didn't even have an agent for a while, right? He had the consultation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a unique setup that he's got. And so he could have played hardball right, mm-hmm. even last year, and demanded a new contract before he ever played another down. He didn't do that.
But how can you demand a new contract? Can't hold out.
Yeah, you can.
You can get fined $90,000 a day.
But this team has to have him in the lineup, as we've seen. Like, he could have played that.
They control his rights.
There's no question. That would have been...
Players find ways around there.
Have we not seen that work for some players? You got to know when you have the leverage. Like, there was the Le'Veon Bell where he thought he had that leverage, and they just said, well, you can sit over there. You can sit over there for the whole year. Mm-hmm. We don't care.
But
we're going to keep going.
CBA,
but Jeffrey Simmons, I think, like, Emmitt Smith, remember, did it for two games way mm-hmm. back when. They lost the first two games, and like Jerry called, hey, Emmitt, how you doing over there? We got it. Let's talk.
But here's how you know, say I'm Jeffrey Simmons and the Titans. I want $27 million per year, which is going to be somewhere in that ballpark. You know, it's going to be in that ballpark anyway. I want $27 million a year. Well, Derek, we're not paying you $27 a year. We're giving you $22. And you got to come in here because you're still under your last contract. Okay, all right, cool. I'll be there. Don't worry about it. I come in. Oh, my back. Oh, goodness. Oh, man. After one or two drills. Oh, now I'm out. You can't tell me when to come back. I'm hurt until I'm not hurt. That's how you get around all of this. You know, you can't sit out and all this fun. No, players are smart. And agents definitely are. If you want to get around that, you can get around it.
He could have made their life miserable.
Exactly.
And he didn't.
To that point, I mean, if Jeffrey Simmons wanted to, and you can totally do that.
Exactly. What did they can't say
if
anything.
If you hold out, you don't come to practice, mm-hmm. that's where the fines come
exactly.
in. Under the CBA. Jeffrey Simmons knows that. He even mentioned in that Athletic article, he was like, I considered holding out. I considered not showing up to training mm-hmm. camp. And I think he looked at what that would cost him, and he was like, actually, you know what? I'll show up. I'll be there. I'll see you tomorrow, coach. But then what kind of message does that send? Because you want a new contract. Mm-hmm. Totally get it. What kind of message does that send to the rest of the league? Like, oh, Jeffrey Simmons just suffered another injury. Man, like maybe we don't want to pay him the $26, $27 million. But all of that to say, the Titans have every right to say we're paying you $22, whatever that number might be.
Mm-hmm.
That's not in the Titans' best interest for so many reasons, and the Titans know that. But we'll get back into this conversation, plus your thoughts, coming up next, 615-737-1025. And do not forget, ask D-Mace later on this hour. Get your questions in for D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
It's one of those things where it's like, now I know, like, man, I knew you needed me. But now I know you really, you're starving for me now. So imagine taking over. Like, imagine taking over as the GM, whether it's Ryan Callen, Monty, Austin Ford, whoever it could be. Imagine taking over and allowing another one of your cornerstone players to leave. That would be major. So, yeah, that's going to be heavy in those negotiations. And, I mean, we'll see how it goes. I know there was a good relationship, with Robinson. So how the torch is passed and how it carries on, that's going to be a really interesting thing to watch.
That was TD and the TD Power Hour and Stillman & Company yesterday. And I think that's a fair point to make, is now that the contract negotiations have been going on for about a year now, they have been making those negotiations with J-Rob. How was that torch passed? And how is the new GM or, you know, GM group, whether it's, you know, Ryan Cowden and Mike Vrabel and Amy Adams Strunk all making those decisions, how is that torch passed and how do they approach it with Jeffrey Simmons? And I thought TD brought up a very fair point. And whoever is now going to play the GM role,
mm-hmm.
they're going to want to start their tenure on re-signing a cornerstone in this franchise rather than letting him walk. And I thought from the very – even before John Robinson got fired, they have to re-sign Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
You have to.
So there's no way he's walking. He's going to be a Titan. The only question is how much are you going to pay?
I also thought there was no way John Robinson would get fired in the middle of the season, but yeah, what do I know?
That's true, and I wouldn't have thought A.J. Brown was going to be traded. I thought that they would find a way to do it. So it's mm-hmm. not, to me, not the question is not, is he going to walk? They can't let him walk, right? You would franchise tag him before you let him walk.
You let mm-hmm. yet another first-round pick walk?
You would trade him before you let him walk, just like with A.J. Brown. So I don't think that's the question. The question is, how can you do a smart deal that makes sense for both sides, where Jeffrey Simmons is happy and it doesn't screw up your ability to build the roster. Because what has happened at times in the past, you overpay, you overcompensate, and you give him the moon, and he's an extremely valuable player, but you got to have enough money to address the rest of the roster. So I'm curious what kind of groundwork has been laid, and now that there's a different power, there's a different structure now with who's making these decisions, who's doing the negotiation. Does whatever you did before, does that mean anything now, or are you starting over now that there's a new GM?
I doubt they would start over. And that's why I think they're promoting from within. As like that is a massive deal. And to your point, you know, for both sides to be happy, sure, that's ideal in any deal, in any negotiation, in any contract. You want both sides to be happy. But I think Jeffrey Simmons' camp is looking at this like, we can get whatever we want because they need us.
Mm-hmm. He's got leverage.
He's got all the leverage, and he deserves it. He's earned it.
Well, if he continues to play the way he has been playing prior to the ankle injury, then, yeah, he deserves to be in the ballpark of Aaron Donald. I'm not saying that he deserves, you know, Aaron Donald's money, because you're talking about a two-time all-defensive player or three-time all-defensive player, MVP. You know, he's won a Super Bowl, so.
And Aaron Donald makes 31.6 AAV.
Yeah, so it has to be somewhere in that ballpark. It has to be.
And he's worth that.
And he's worth it. Absolutely. He's
to me,
worth
I have
penny.
No problem paying him that.
If I had to pay him 31, then
I'm okay with that.
I may sign that check reluctantly, but boy, oh boy, I would have to give it to him, you know?
They don't have a choice.
Yeah, they don't. You cannot allow another first-round pick that has proven that he can be a player in this league. You can't allow him to get outside the building. You can't build a franchise. You can't build an organization when you continue to allow the good players to leave because you don't want to pay them.
And you don't want that stigma attached to your organization.
Exactly.
Of you have not signed any of your first-round picks to their fifth-round deals. Mm-hmm. You traded A.J. Brown because you weren't willing to match the number that he wanted, and yet there's another cornerstone to your franchise that you're not going to sign to a second contract. I mean, they tagged Derrick Henry on the franchise tag, which, you know, it is advantageous for the team. It's the team protecting themselves. Mm-hmm. But I think with Jeffrey Simmons, I think they know that, hey, we're not taking a franchise tag. We want a new contract, especially for a player, to your point, D-Mace, that it could have some wear and tear. If I'm Jeffrey Simmons, I want that protection and that cushion of the years and the guaranteed money despite injury.
Yeah, you're going to have to get it. You know, so, again, I can't see just about under any circumstance, not all circumstance, but just about any circumstance. So I'm giving myself a little leeway that he will not be here, that they will not sign him back to a contract.
They're going to sign him.
Nothing is 100% except death and taxes. But I would be almost certain that you can't, especially after all of this, everything that has happened, you can't then allow Jeffrey Simmons to walk out the building.
And that's regardless of whether they win the rest of their
games,
they've got to have him going forward. But what affects it, this is where the general manager's job is tough, because you've got to sign him to the contract, but where I keep going with the, you can't just pay him whatever he wants. It's got to fit in the structure of what you're trying to do. So, for example, you're 7-5, you've got 5 games left. What are those 5 games like for Derrick Henry? Derrick Henry, a month ago, you would have said, wow, guy looks pretty good. Guy's on his way to a really good season. Feel good about his situation for next year. If he plays the way he's been playing for the last month, but I don't think he will. We're going to be somewhere in between. But what's his value for next year? What are you going to do with his contract? It's always tricky with running backs when they get to that stage of his career. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Tannehill, right? They can get out of his contract if they want, but what's the alternative? And do you want to restructure it? There's all these questions that they have. What about Bud Dupree's enormous cap hit going on?
Hey.
What's the deal? Like Taylor Lewan, we just had all that drama with Taylor Lewan yesterday saying, I don't know if I can even play. I know he basically said, I know I'm not going to be with the Titans. I know I'm going to be released by the Titans. You got a left tackle to try to deal with. Mm-hmm. What's your left tackle situation?
Classic Taylor Lewan making the GM getting fired, making it about him.
Maybe so, but the fact remains, right? That next year you got a major position, and you don't have the guy. That's an expensive position. And you got to leave some money in the budget to get that, or draft him in the first round. Whatever your plan is, you better have a plan.
And moving forward, looking at the stadium, because I think that this does have a lot to do with the stadium of getting butts in those seats. 2026, you can only assume that Ryan Tannehill will not be your starting quarterback. Only assume that Derrick Henry will not be Derrick Henry, if not even still playing. So what is the foundation of this team? What will be the core of this team whenever people have to put up thousands of dollars for PSLs to fund a new stadium? So Jeffrey Simmons will be one of those cornerstones. And I think ownership knows it. And I think whoever fills those GM shoes knows how high priority signing Jeffrey Simmons is for that GM's reputation and legacy and for the team moving forward.
And now we're talking about it today. We're going to talk about it in February and March and April and May, and as they do everything, right? But now we're talking about it the week that they're playing the Jaguars in a big game because they made this decision, this, in my opinion, rash decision, during the season. So all of this is coming up. That's got to be distracting.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Ask D. Mace is coming up next. Get your calls, get your texts in for D. Mace. Football, life, whatever it might be, we'll get your questions in for Ask D. Mace. 1025-1063 The Game.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D. Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and
G. Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Chase, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Fenton in for Chase McCabe. And it is now time for Ask D. Mace. Now remember, you can text in, you can call in, and the best question for D. Mace will win a pair of tickets to the Predators as they take on the Edmonton Oilers on December 13th at 7 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena. So best question gets a pair of tickets to the Preds game there. But D. Mace.
Come on, people.
Joey from Clarksville will start us off. Yes, D. Mace, if you want to pick any NFL player to be a possibility to be the next GM for the Titans, who do you think could do it?
Any NFL player right now? Wow. Goodness.
To suddenly become the GM?
Yeah, to suddenly become a GM. Yeah. Mm-mm. I don't know.
So like some player is playing and decides, right, you know what? I want to be the GM.
Right.
Man.
I think I can do it.
That would be Tom Brady. He's the oldest.
That feels like the most obvious.
Exactly. Right? That's the most obvious one. Tom Brady. He's the oldest. Now, I think Tom would probably, get so frustrated that he'd probably walk up like, I can't do this no more. These guys are not good enough. Why can't they be this? Why can't they do what I did? Well, Tom, you're the GOAT. That's why. No, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to sort of pick, you know, one player. That could probably, you know, segue into a GM role because I don't know these players. Now, if you would have to ask me this 15, 20 years ago, then I could have probably rattled off some players that I knew, that I was around, that probably sort of fit that mold of possibly being a head coach or a GM. But right now, I mean, I don't know these men, you know, like that, whether they can do the job or not. So, I don't know. Can I pick Peyton Manning? Used to be a player.
We did have somebody text in for Ask TD yesterday. Should Peyton Manning be the Titans' next general manager? And that was something that TD responded to, hell to the no, no, no. But I do think Peyton Manning could be a good GM.
Yeah, I think he could. But then again, he probably would, you know, why can't they do the things that I've seen players do? Why they can't get it? You know, so I don't know.
And that is tough, I do think, for some former players to be coaches. Mm-hmm. Like Brady, for example, like you mentioned. I don't know if Brady could coach up a quarterback because there are certain things that Brady can do that other people just can't.
Exactly.
And he probably gets so frustrated, like, why don't you get this? Mm-hmm. Why can't you do this? That, you know, they just can't coach it.
That's like saying Mahomes. Yeah, how's Mahomes gonna coach a quarterback? It's like they can't do what you do.
Right, he just exactly. has special skills that other Absolutely. People just don't have. Matt texts in, SD Mays, where does John Robinson go next? How soon does he get there? And is it possible that he'd try to take Vrabel with him?
No, Vrabel's not going anywhere with him. I can answer that question right now. He's not going a damn place with them. Because he has a good gig here, and if John gets another job, which I'm sure John will get another GM job somewhere, then he's going to be looking for his head coach. I don't think Mike Vrabel is going to leave the Titans no time soon.
Big C from Franklin. D-Mace, if practice makes perfect, but nobody's perfect, what am I to believe? A philosophical question for the day. Like, ask Socrates. And ask D-Mace. Yes. So, D-Mace, you're a philosopher. What do you think to that rhetorical question?
Oh, wow. He's right.
I used to have a buddy that would say in junior high, if practice makes perfect and nobody's perfect, why practice? Let's just show up for the games.
No, you still got to practice. You want to practice perfection, knowing that you will never reach perfection.
We strive.
You strive for perfection, knowing that you will never reach it. But in the midst of it, you continue to grow as a player. You continue to get better as a team. But no one will ever reach that point of, oh, I perfected everything. You know, so keep practicing.
Yep.
That's what I tell you.
I think Big C just wants to get your take so he can take it. I think he's a mentor to young people. Yeah. He wants to ask that and have a good discussion with his team or his class, you know, something like that.
Absolutely.
Maybe something a little bit more encouraging beyond, you're never going to be perfect as hard as you try.
So strive for perfection.
Titans in Truth, Texan, says, D-Mace, why do you hate tight ends so much? You show so much love to wide receivers, but Hoop and Chig get no love.
Whoa. Willie, back me up on this. Who do I talk about all the time in regards to this team?
Oconquo.
Thank you.
Talk about
Chig Oconquo.
You hate Austin Hooper.
I don't hate Austin Hooper.
You've been reluctant to show the love.
I dislike the way he had been playing a lot. I disliked it a lot, a whole lot. I didn't hate him. I just disliked him.
Between you and Chris Sanders, I felt like it was the let's bully up on Austin Hooper.
No, but I love tight ends, just like I love offensive linemen, defensive linemen. But, you know, if you're not getting the job done, you're not getting the job done. And, you know, we are, you know, given a responsibility to give our opinions on the radio and that's what I was doing. But Austin Hooper has been playing better. Have I said anything bad about him?
You have
in the last 3 weeks.
You have acknowledged that he's played better.
Absolutely.
With some pressuring from the rest of the panel. D-Mace, you got to admit he's playing a little better. All right, now here is a very important question, D-Mace. Joey from Bellevue. Mm-hmm. D-Mace, did you give Clean Juice another chance?
Nope. I still hadn't went back. And boy, I'm telling you. It's a power struggle right now. It's a power struggle.
Really? Have you heard from any representation of Clean Juice saying, hey, D-Mace, give him another chance?
It's a power struggle between me, myself, and I.
Okay.
That's the
it's
power
an internal struggle.
Exactly, an internal struggle. Part of me wants to go, and a part of me is like, you bet not. You better not. So it's just like this internal fighting.
You might get locked out of Clean Juice. Like, we heard what you said about us, teammates. You're going to spit in your next Green Juice.
So it's just an internal battle, man. And, you know, me and myself is winning because I hadn't went.
You've stood strong.
Yeah. So
you demand
me and myself
more.
Is winning, and I is not. So.
If somebody called you from there, you mentioned an employee that you think
does a good
person.
Job. I'm a forgiving person.
If somebody, or maybe the owner.
It was
the
manager, owner. It wasn't the worker.
But what if
worker.
They got in touch with you or through some other channels and said, D-Mace, we messed up. You're a good customer.
Yeah.
We need you.
I would accept your apology, and I will. You know, continue to get my juices.
You got to have your juice.
Sometimes that's all it takes. And, hey, I'm sorry, you know.
Okay.
I'm a forgiving person, okay?
Oh, another texter asked you, Mays, who is the best corner as a pro that you have played against?
Oh, wow. Played against, Ty Law, who's now a Hall of Famer. He played for New England. I played against him briefly in college. I think he was a – well, did he come out early? He might have came out early. I was a freshman. He was a junior or senior. He might have been a senior. But we crossed paths just 1 year.
Michigan guy?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was a Michigan guy. But getting to the NFL and once I became a starter, he was one of those guys that was just – he was good at everything. Like, there was not a weak part of his game. And if you didn't come out with your A game, you weren't going to catch no passes that day. It just wasn't. And he was by far one of the best corners. And sometimes he gets overlooked when you talk about top corners. But Ty Law was probably one, you know, he was the best corner that I played, I had to compete against on the field. I could talk to Mari Rowe, but he and I practiced together a lot. Champ Bailey, there's been a bunch of them out there that I played against, but Ty Law was the guy that, you know, had troubles with. Him and Sam Madison, too. Sam, and I played against Sam in college, too. He went to Louisville, and I played against him twice, once in the Liberty Bowl, and then Louisville came to Michigan State and played us. He was good. He had a stretch. He was really good. So those two guys.
We will get back into your phones. Going to be up next, more questions for Ask D-Mays. Chase William D-Mays, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chase William D-Mays, 1025, 1063 The Game. Ask D-Mays. Get your questions in for D-Mays. Text them in. Call them in. 615-737-1025. And remember, the best question for D-Mays will win a pair of tickets as the Predators take on the Edmonton Oilers in Bridgestone Arena on December 13th at 7 p.m. Let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wes is up next.
D-Mace, man, I've been worried about you all week, so I got to ask, what's the deal with the smoothie, man? You ever get your smoothies taken care of, or what we got going on with that?
Wes, we were just talking about that off air, too. Nah, I hadn't been back, Wes. Unfortunately, it's an internal struggle between me, myself, and I. Parts of me want to go, but there's a part of me that I got to stand. I need to stand my ground. I am not satisfied with the way my smoothies were made, so I'm standing my ground.
As you should.
Absolutely.
A man of morals.
I don't know how long I can stand this ground. Down with the smoothies, okay? No, but I hadn't went back, Wes. Man.
Do you miss them, D-Mays?
Yeah, I do.
That's part of the struggle.
Yeah, it's part of the struggle. I miss them. Man.
Tyler texts in and asks D-Mays, what was the most fun away environment to play in while you were a Titan?
Cleveland. I loved Cleveland. Even when I wasn't a Titan anymore, Cleveland fans are different people. Nashville got some great fans. The Titans do. But Cleveland fans, sort of like Bill fans, they're just different, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's to a point where Browns fans heckle you, but they're funny while they're doing it, you know. And it's just like, okay, I'll just laugh. And they just heckle you. But then they're cool with it after that. You know, they're not Philadelphia with throwing batteries and snowballs and stuff at you.
Yeah, Philadelphia fans are mean.
Yeah, they are. But I love playing in Cleveland. One, because I would always have a good game against them. But two, they're fans, man. It just reeked of football. Just like, you know, some places you walk into, like Lambeau and, you know, name another place. Buffalo, walking to their stadium, the rich history they have. Cleveland's just like that. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those stadiums, man. You just walk, and it's just, it feels like football.
That's pretty cool.
I love it.
Eric is up next with a question for D-Mays. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going good.
Good. All right, D-Mays. I have a very curious question for you. So, I used to play pickup basketball in college, and used to have a guy that I played with who was easily, hands down, the best passer that I ever played or saw. He wasn't a great basketball player, but he was the best passer ever. So my question to you is, what quarterback did you play with in your career, high school, college, pros, that threw the best ball? maybe not the best quarterback, but threw the best ball.
Oh. I mean, Steve, to me, he threw that I played with. And Steve was just awesome. I mean,
What goes into you? Like tight spiral, easy to
spiral, catch? Catchable balls, a guy that would not put you in harm's way, a guy that understands coverages, and he understands, and that chemistry's built. And Steve always threw a good football. You know what?
Peyton Manning used to always almost make fun of himself because he threw some wobbly. He didn't always have the tightest spiral. Like Warren Moon was the one
Warren's
that had the
so
prettiest
tight.
Looking
What you call
spin.
It was that way too for Atlanta. Jeff George.
Oh, man.
Jeff George is that way too.
He had a rocket of an arm for sure.
Man. But you
know
what?
It doesn't mean you're the best quarterback.
Yeah. Another guy, besides Joe Flacco, threw a really good deep ball. But Troy Smith, and it's unfortunate, you know, how his career ended because he got really, really sick. Because he was scheduled to be the starter. I drafted Joe. Steve had retired. But Troy was scheduled to be the starter leading into that season. And before the first game of the season, Troy gets, really sick, has to be admitted to the hospital, lost a bunch of weight. Don't nobody know what was going on. And ultimately, Joe took over and didn't relinquish it. But Troy threw a good ball, man, especially a good deep ball. It was catchable, on point. It's just unfortunate, you know, that he never really got a solid opportunity to be not just a starter, but not even a backup in this league because of, you know, what happened that day. And then, you know, after that, it was just,
and now he's just in that pile of guys. Heisman Trophy winner. Never was a great NFL guy for whatever
but
reason.
But he threw a good football. Really did.
Very interesting.
Randy Texan, Nasty Maze. What happens if a player out of nowhere has to go to the bathroom and not have an option to go?
Man. I've heard some stories. I've heard some stories from guys. One guy in particular, I will not say his name, and I would not say what team he was on, but he was on one of the teams that I played for, because I don't include the Texans or the Jets. This guy said that he would just use the bathroom, right there.
Like in his
on the
pants.
Field, and and just pour water, you know. Because if we got on dark stuff, you don't see just pour water all
what
over.
What if you wear this white pants?
Hey, this is what the guy said. This is what he said he does. Hey, listen.
It's his business.
It's his business.
You're just walking around in your pee pants all game long?
Hey, you squirt water on it. You kind of dilute it. I don't know. I've never done it, okay?
They just worry about it later.
Exactly. Or anytime you see a guy with a towel in front of him and he's on the sideline, he's using the bathroom. More than likely, he's using the bathroom.
So he's covered, but he
exactly.
You're wondering what's going on back there.
If he can't run, because typically you try to run to the restrooms, especially. It's kind of hard.
It's not practical.
It. Yeah,
in baseball, you have the dugout there.
Yeah.
So you have a bathroom
it's
by.
Easier at some stadiums. Nissan Stadium, it's not, because you got to go through the tunnel and then run past and then into the locker room. And then in Baltimore and some of these new stadiums, you can go into the locker room from behind the bleachers. Like, we're sitting here, the locker room is right behind us. You go in, you just about run back. And nobody will really, they won't notice that you're gone.
Well, speaking of Baltimore, remember Lamar Jackson last year when he was walking funny?
Oh, yeah. And everybody was asking.
Like, is he hurt? Is he injured? He comes back looking brand new.
He had to use the bathroom. You got to go.
Oh, man.
James texted SD Mays, what was the best prank that you have seen or was pulled on you or you pulled?
Oh, man. Best prank. There's been several of them. I remember they threw all of our clothes in the cold tub. Everybody, you know, what you wore to practice. And this was during my rookie year. They made sure they took all our stuff out of our pockets. And they had everybody's clothes, all the rookie clothes, and they threw them all in a cold tub. So when you come in after practice, you're like, man, you ain't got no clothes. Now you got to wear something that the equipment guy gives you. You got to wear that home. So that was one. The other one.
Mean.
Yeah, that was mean. But it's all in
it's
fun.
It's all part of
it. It's all in fun. I can wash the clothes or dry them. They didn't bleach them, which is good. Another one is the whole, I hesitate to say it because they probably still do it, but so be it. The whole turkey thing, like during Thanksgiving, back when I was here, they would say, listen, we're giving out free turkeys, you know, for you and your families. Y'all can go and get the turkeys. If y'all want to take them home, y'all take them home. Y'all can bring them back here. Well, some guys used to take them home, and it was just a big thing of ice wrapped in a turkey thing. Yes, it was not a turkey.
Probably calling their moms, their wives, like, don't worry about grocery shopping. I got you covered.
Oh, I'm the hero. Here you go. Whoops.
Yeah, those are some good times. Those are some good times.
D. Hayes, Texan, SD Mays. After being the number one seed last year, beating the top teams, and then going to Philly last week and seeing how the Titans got beat in the current roster, if you were the owner, how would you feel?
I would be disappointed. You know, it would be how do we improve this team? I would make sure I would be aware of everything. Moving forward as an owner. But I would want answers. Like, why are we've went to an AFC championship game. We've won the division two times, going on three now. Why are we still at a point where there are three or four teams better than us? Why? What's going on? I want to know as an owner. Why, after, you know, 2-3 years ago, we were almost at the pinnacle of what guys dream about in this sport, and that's going to the Super Bowl. We went from being an AFC championship game to can't even win a game in the playoffs. Why? As an owner, that's what I would want to know. Like, what's going on here? Explain to me. So that would be me as an owner. Because I said this to you earlier, Carolyn, I think this upcoming draft is going to be a critical draft for the Tennessee Titans because of what has transpired in previous drafts. They haven't been able to sign guys back that have been drafted by this organization. And it's starting to come to light that, you know, this team is not getting better. We're getting worse. And we're not signing back our own talent. So this upcoming draft is going to be key. Moving forward, this upcoming draft will reestablish this organization, I believe, because again, in 3 more years, they will be getting a new stadium. So you got to start hitting on all these drafts moving forward.
That was Ask D. Mace. Now, again, the best question for D. Mace will win a pair of tickets to the Predators-Oilers game on December 13th at Bridgestone Arena. So if you won, you will get notified. But coming up next, we will chat with TSU head coach and Titans great Eddie George. Chase, Billy, and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.